You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
This is, we got a tweet from Punk Rock Poet. I'm getting killed on Twitter for saying the Rockets will never retire Harden's jersey. What do you guys think? The answer is yes, they will. I got that word yesterday. That time heals all wounds. They're pissed off. You know, James walked out the door saying, I want to come back after when my contract's up.
What?
Yeah. He walked out the door.
Why would he say that?
He wasn't mad with the organization. He wasn't mad. He loves the city. He wants to come back.
Oh, he better, because he's opening up a new restaurant January 22nd.
Yeah, guess what?
And he probably doesn't want it in
a tank.
Guess what?
That's going to happen.
It's going to tank.
Well, this was all about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant orchestrated James Harden to the Nets. Let's get the band back together. Let's do what I did going to Golden State, only you're going to have to do it a little bit differently. Like Anthony Davis, a little like Kawhi, you're going to have to do it a little differently, but let's go win us a title. This is how you do it. You get three stars together. So come on, do whatever it takes to get out of there, and let's go. And James did whatever it took to get out of here. He worked the system perfectly. And you know, the Rockets are left holding the bag, but they weren't winning anything with James anyway. So
no,
you know what?
No,
you got
weren't.
Out of that. If I'm Tillman, I'm like, hey, I got out of that 40.
I got news for you. I don't think,
you know, if Oladipo don't want to come, oh well.
Yeah, James would love to come back at about $50 million, where he can run the team again, go to strip clubs, and have his own restaurant thrive. No thanks. We've done that. That's cool. You ran a team already.
Is his restaurant a strip club too? Is it going to be a strip club? His restaurant?
Is his restaurant going to be a strip club? Were we on the text string where somebody said, who was it?
Yeah,
somebody
who's
heard
in
the that can't be true.
Well, no, the second floor?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I mean,
what do you mean?
There's a lot Dell talked about yesterday. There's a lot of love in the culture for
Is this
going to
get? Is his restaurant going to get the Ayesha Curry treatment?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, yes,
yes.
No,
maybe not as bad, but probably a lot.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah,
see.
No. Honestly,
you don't open
I'm
a restaurant out of a city.
Well, you think in 2 years James is going to want less money and less influence in the building,
no.
And to work harder and be a better teammate? No, I don't want it, but. Hey, it was a great run, James. Thanks for everything.
Well,
you can retire your thing, sit courtside like Dream with whoever you're sitting with. And
he will have his number retired here,
though. Great. I don't want James back.
No.
It's terrible to have where you don't have any control of your own team. Daryl was just doing whatever James wanted. No thanks.
Yeah.
No thanks.
You know, the entitlement here of James was, I mean, it's almost legendary. The people that he got rid of, how he ran. Do we know of a LeBron runs all of his organizations? There's no question.
Yeah, but I don't think
he's LeBron wins
flawed.
Championships.
Yeah,
I mean, have we seen a guy that could run an organization the way James ran this place that wasn't able to win? That wasn't able to get over the. I mean, he won. He won, and he won at a high level. There's no question about it. But. I mean, it's all about, like Jeff Van Gundy said, we put it all, it's all about championships, and it really wasn't. The Karl Malone and John Stockton he made reference to, they were wonderful, wonderful. James was a wonderful player here, but man.
Well, the debate
He was a terrible GM as a player.
Well, did he bring people in, or did he just get rid of people?
Well, he just got rid of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
GMs usually bring people in, too.
Yeah, no, he just fired them. That's all he did.
What about this guy?
Fire him.
No.
Fire him. Fire him.
What about Chris Paul? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do that.
That's icky.
He told me what I need to do to be a professional while I'm over here with MVP season, so I don't need to hear that.
Mm-hmm. And he can't hit a jumper now, so beat it, Chris Paul. No, it's a new era of Rockets basketball that's not going to be very good. It's just, I mean, they're just over, they're overmatched. Jeff Van Gundy talked about it. You know, the theory, the Detroit Pistons model, that was, Lance, that was a long time ago, and it's going to be awfully hard to duplicate that.
But that's what you're going to have to try, though.
Unless you can get some big names in here.
But, I mean, if there's a place that you want to go more than anything right now, it'd be Rockets.
Well, no, not right now.
But, I wonder, you know, if Tillman,
Christian Wood becomes a really, really good player.
I wonder if
and maybe
players,
make some friends in the league. I don't know.
Just Tillman.
Because that's what you got to do.
Hey, we got to start getting you out of some parties, Christian.
Yes. Yeah.
Go meet some new kids at school. See if you can, because we need you to get a ride home.
Go. Maybe he's on some teams. I don't know. Who knows? But Christian Wood, time to start recruiting. Because that's what Kevin Durant did. He recruited James there.
Christian Wood's going to have to make an all-star team first. That's the place where you start.
Yeah.
Make an all-star team, start meeting guys, and people want to come play with you. I was thinking about all the trades that have happened. The Rockets got
Sounds
the draft
like
pick.
Christian Wood, you wanted to be some kind of hoe.
That's what you wanted
get
to do.
Get to the all-star
that's
game, meet some guys.
That's what you guys are saying.
Well, that's what the NBA is. They hoe off each other, and then before you know it, we should all get together.
Sounds like a plan for somebody who's trying to find a guy.
Wait. Is Kevin Durant the pimp in New Jersey running everything?
Yes, mm-hmm. he is. Yeah. I don't know if you've heard.
Pretty much.
I'm trying to think of all the trades that have gone down. Did the Rockets get the least return as far as players are concerned?
Yes. Yep.
Even Paul George brought in Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Danilo, and they had them, and Shea's could under team control. We know what the Pelicans got for Anthony Davis.
I think it's been blown out of proportion how much the Rockets got.
And should they have kept Caris LeVert instead of trading him for Oladipo?
What was the thought process there? You get rid of it after 1 year. I think Jeff Van Gundy referenced you could play the salary cap game. Basically, you put Oladipo.
That's if you can attract somebody when that contract expires.
Right. I mean, it's one thing to have a bunch of money. It's another, you know, everybody wants money, but the good ones want money and a chance to win and go play with their best friends. So I don't know. It might have been a situation where they want that short-term deal to give Oladipo just a quick, you know, basically a trial run, and then if they want to re-up them, they can re-up them. I think the league will step in and say, Oladipo, you have to go or you're going to be fined, because the league is clearly understands that they've lost control of their own league from a quote-unquote empowerment situation. Mm-hmm. They've lost control, and now if you can't even make trades because players say they're not going to go, the league is in a massive amount of trouble. So I think they'll step in and force Oladipo to play or just lose his salary is my guess.
Yeah.
And but Oladipo does have the right to say, I'm done. I'll just let the salary run out then.
Yeah.
But he could do that.
There are already some reviews on James's restaurant. Started strong.
Wait, has it opened?
No. Started strong, but really disappointing ending to the meal. This place is absolutely terrible. The food tastes like betrayal, low quality, very ghetto. Wouldn't recommend, 1 star.
Tastes like betrayal.
The food's a choking hazard, just like its owner. This place, just go ahead and quit like its owner. James's restaurant is not getting good reviews so far. That's a shame. Before it's even open, before anyone's even eaten there.
Dessert is the worst. Left such a bad taste. The end of the meal left such a bad taste in my mouth.
Started strong.
This place is filled with strippers. And not the good ones.
It's good stuff. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5, 811. On the other side, some Texans talk. More candidates for the head coaching job. We'll do it on the other side.
Nice.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 812 ESPN 97.5. So Brandon Staley is the next guy in line. He's still coaching. He's got the Rams. He's the defensive coordinator for the Rams. He's going to be coaching this weekend against the Green Bay Packers on Saturday. So he's done a nice job. He's had some really, really, well, he's got Aaron Donald. And so He doesn't have Aaron Donald here. I don't know what kind of coach. Do we know what kind of coach? He's obviously a pretty good coach. He got to be defensive coordinator with the L.A. Rams, so he must be a pretty darn good coach, and he's doing a pretty darn good job. But
it's going to be a clear drop down in talent.
Yes, yes. I mean, he's walking into. I don't know if I'm a defensive coordinator. I'm like, well, I got to hurry up and get to Houston.
Yeah, but like you said before, it's 1-32.
Yeah, that's it. It's yeah, and you know what? You want your shot, and who knows how long it's going to take? I mean, this could be a Bo Porter situation for any coach. This is a could be a Bo Porter situation for, and a Bo Porter situation is you go lose 100 games a year and be the manager of a 100 loss season for 3 years, and then when we start to get good players, we're going to get rid of you.
Well, what do you think Steven Silas is thinking about right now?
There's a good chance that Steven Silas is getting Bo Porter.
He came in thinking.
Yeah,
he would have the opportunity to coach two All-Stars, and now it's like,
none left.
Yeah, it's going to be people are going to probably laud him if he went, well, it's a 72-game year. If he finishes 500, he's going to get a lot of credit.
Oh, yeah.
If that happens.
God forbid, what if they make the playoffs, that team?
Well, they would need Victor Oladipo to actually show up and play. Yeah. That would be a good start.
That would be a start. Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator for the Titans, has been asked and will, I would think he will come here. There, you know what? Some coaches have already said, Matt Eberflus has already said, I ain't interviewing over there. You got offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, which you can't, until his season is over, looks like it'll be after the Super Bowl. You can't talk to him. David Culley, the Ravens are still in the playoffs, and we'll see how long that lasts. They've got the Bills this week, and they've already talked, they're talking to Leslie. He's already done Leslie Frazier, right?
I believe so, yes. And he's they've talked to him already.
That was a Zoom deal. Must have been a Zoom deal.
Yeah, he's a coordinator for the Bills, right?
Yeah. So he's playing already.
Yeah, so they can.
And then all the other guys that they've already talked to. But
the job market may get a little clearer because all day, at least the last 20 minutes or so, the headline has been on ESPN that Urban Meyer and the Jaguars are finalizing a deal, in advanced talks to finalize the deal. So Arthur Smith would be a guy who was up for that job, and now that's one job that he won't get. So maybe he puts a bigger focus on a Houston job if he's interested in that. So one of the big jobs appears about to come off the board.
It'll be interesting to see if Nick Caserio, who says, you know, Nick Caserio can hide behind the fact that he wasn't here, and he can tell Deshaun, listen, I want to interview Eric Bieniemy. I don't know what those guys were doing. I don't know what fools were doing before I got here, but no. I definitely want Eric Bieniemy. Who else? You like Eric? You like Arthur Smith? Okay. Who else you like, Deshaun? We'll talk to them. That's fine. You know what? I wasn't here. So this is the way we're doing it now. You
plausible
can forget.
Deniability.
That's right. Well, and it's true, though. I mean, you can forget the dumb things that were done before because I wasn't here.
That's how I'd play it.
Yeah, and listen, all the dumb picks, all the dumb trades, all the dumb contracts, all that stuff, all dumb stuff is over now. So, Deshaun, get on board. We're gonna do things right here.
Now, one of those dumb contracts was yours, as you know. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just, you know, elephant in the room. But you're one of the dumb ones that was done. 3-year deal, that's, for this amount of money, is strange we let you get to market, back to the market that quick. But
contract's a young age.
But a contract's a contract, so I'm sure you'll play yours out here in Houston.
We can extend you, Deshaun. How about we start with that? We want you around here for a long time.
Two more years.
Yeah. Let's throw two more on there, Deshaun. No. I would imagine Deshaun. Right now, Deshaun ain't doing that. That's for sure. You got to convince him that, and you got to convince him, listen.
Four more years.
You got to convince him that it's going to be okay to lose for the next couple of years because it's going to take.
That's an easy sell.
Well, that's, but what are you going to do? We're coming in. We're going to win right away, Deshaun. Whatever.
How old is Deshaun?
Wouldn't you rather be 25, wouldn't you rather be told the truth than lied to like that?
No, I like being lied to.
You like to be lied to? Well,
if it makes me feel better.
Well,
Deshaun Watson is 25 years old. And what he needs to do is say, how old are you right now? 25. Nice. How would you like to win when you're 28? How does that sound?
Yeah.
Well, fine, but what about until then? That's not the question. my question is, how would you like to have a chance to win when you're 28? Well, you said, how would you like to win when you're 28? Now you said, now you're saying, how would you like to have a chance to win?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's going to take a little.
How would you like an opportunity to have a chance to win when you're 28?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wait. It feels like this is going backwards. Well, you're still under 30 and you've got a chance to win in the league. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's not rush this.
Yeah. So there's a lot of explaining to do to Deshaun and to get him back on board. We'll see.
I don't feel like there's any chance they trade him.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. Now, listen. If they get, like Coach said, if they get blown away by a deal, if you can, if it's somehow some, I don't think that there's any chance that Jacksonville would do a deal with you and you could get Trevor.
Think about this, John. You trade Deshaun Watson, it's immediately going to be, people are going to be angry.
Yes.
Unless. Even if it's a great deal, 85% of the people are going to be mad, the same way 80% of the people were happy when a Tunsil deal came, because you don't have to pay, you don't see what the payoff is. You just, oh, great, we got a player. That's cool. If you trade Deshaun Watson, there are no players.
Well,
just the potential players. What if you miss on them?
Well, what if it's Trevor Lawrence?
Well, they would never make that
deal. Well, that's what I'm saying.
I don't even want to bring that up, because it's not possible. But you could get offered a different deal.
Well, but no other deal would offer you somebody that would be comparable to Deshaun.
I mean, No, that's the problem. Yeah. That's why people would be upset with it.
That's right, and well, they should be.
And immediately, Nick Caserio would start his, and Cal would take even more crap. Nick Caserio would start his tenure off with a lot of animosity and bad feelings, and then he would have to nail the draft. I mean, nail whatever picks you were to get for a Deshaun Watson. It's just too hard. There's just too many variables. And I don't think he'd recover from that. It'd be too tough. Like, you don't get the benefit of the doubt in the city. Now, it doesn't matter. Cal will just keep you. So, you know, I think that's, although he has gotten rid of Brian Gain and O'Brien quickly, but we know there was one guy behind those. Which, by the way, have y'all seen what's considered to be Jack Easterby's burner account?
Yeah.
Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's,
yeah,
there are signs that it could be.
It starts EA. The email on it starts EA gmail.com.
Yeah, the recovery email.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But he's making comments. Like, he responded to one of mine as well. And it's funny because
one of the things he said was on somebody's tweet, oh, you got it wrong. Jack Easterby is valuable to the organization. And
it's,
yeah, I mean, it's really, it could be Jack or his wife's. Remember
who it was, could be a family member
who was the Philadelphia GM whose wife was
burner.
Yeah.
Or was she just doing it openly?
Or no,
the GM was doing it.
Yeah.
The GM had a burner account.
Wife, somebody.
Well, didn't he blame though? I thought the wife was blamed for it. Did she actually? Actually,
maybe that was it. Maybe
I think it was.
He used the wife as cover. I thought so.
Yeah.
Colangelo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but, I think it was that's who it was. And I think the wife actually was doing that.
I think it might have been the wife. And you know what? That she loves her man. She stands by her man and that cash that he's making.
Why is it always so cynical? At one point, he might not have been.
Well, no. He was making that money. He's making that. Do you think she don't want that bag anymore now? No. But my man is doing a great job. Shut up, you.
Yeah, she went on social media to defend them, and then she tried to scrub it all out, but she got caught.
Yeah. I mean, you knew she was going to get caught. 822 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5. Okay. Today's What Are the Odds Thursday. Those are the odd Thursday. What kind of odds do you give that the head coaching hire is African-American or white?
I think it's about fit. I think actually white is probably the favorite.
Should be the favorite, maybe 60-40-ish.
Based on the candidates I've heard, they're pretty
good. Yeah, I mean, you can't talk to Eric Bieniemy until after the Super Bowl. He's the number one.
And he's already put it out there that I guess he's not really interested.
No.
I mean, you want to talk about sounding like a token interview? Like, oh, no. now I get the interview after Deshaun got pissed off.
David Culley, 65 years old. I mean, the candidates are Leslie Frazier, Jim Caldwell, Marvin Lewis, David Culley, Eric Bieniemy, who might not even be a candidate. Doesn't sound like, I mean, maybe it should be even higher that it's going to be a white coach.
Here's the odds from Odd Shark. I'm looking at Odd Shark. The odds for the next Texans head coach. This is as of January 6th. So you can do it that what you want. See, these are bad odds. January 6th. Look how, what is today, the 12th? Oh, no, it's the 14th. Look how things change in 8 days. The favorite was Eric Bieniemy, followed by Matt Eberflus.
Oh, yeah.
No and no. Brian Daboll, Brian Schottenheimer, no. He was just fired. Oh, you're going to fire somebody from offense coordinator and then hire him as head coach? No. Don Martindale, that's just a guess.
Haven't even talked. No. And somebody tweeted out today, why have they not even asked? Why is Greg Roman and Wink Martindale have not even had an interview or been requested an interview?
What about Doug Peterson?
What kind of odds would you put on Doug Peterson? That might be.
But why would you not be? Why would you not be doing that for Doug Peterson as well? It's a Super Bowl winning coach. Why would you not request an interview with him?
I don't know.
Or are they? Maybe they are.
We haven't heard it.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
I think they'd put it out there if they were going to interview Doug Peterson, wouldn't they? I think that they need all the positive press they can get. Yeah, it's a Super Bowl quarterback. That Easterby account is probably someone who also had the Ferresi to make up an email that starts with EA. The Foresight, I think. I think he meant Foresight. To make up an email. Yeah, could well be. Could well be.
Yeah,
it could all be a ruse. Yeah.
But it could be an intentional hoping to. There's over like 1,000 people following this account now.
Really?
It's really past amongst Texans fans.
It could be a fake.
It could be, but it was not.
Somebody posing as his burner.
If it's done, it's a really good fake, and I'll tell you why. They weren't retweet. It was just like literally, Jack's done a good job. It's not Jack's issue. There is a culture issue in the building. And this was as far back. Like, I was getting this from Twitter accounts that could have been burner accounts well over a month ago. So I think that before the SI article. So there is a chance that it could be Jack or definitely somebody who knows Jack, 100%. So
but that's so obvious. Jesus loves you. It's the email starts with EA. I mean, it's like it's almost the top.
But you typically don't see the email. Somebody tried to get a reset, and so an email came out on the password.
They knew that
email.
Somebody could possibly do that.
I think it's possible. It's also.
It's so look, Jack also top. Thinks
he. No, I have heard Jack believes he is being blamed for things that are not his fault. It sounds like the same thing that was in that burner account. I'm just telling you that he believes that he is really being misrepresented, things he weren't involved with. He's also, I'm sure, playing the victim, you know, a little self-pity here. You put yourself in this position. Were you responsible for all of it? You know, probably not. He's probably right about that. Are you responsible for more of it than you're taking credit? Yeah, probably so.
All right, when we come back, Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer going to join us here on ESPN 97.5. We're going to talk about the big trade. He's got some info on Victor Oladipo you do not want to miss. In the meantime, I'm talking about Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. We got this hard countertop here, and this is, you know, and this is the kind of thing that Jeff Aronoff would do every single day. He could remodel this whole studio and make it look, you know, perfect. Unbelievable. That's the key, is how rich everything looks, how today and with today's technology, with today's with the architecture, with the way that they put stuff together, you can make your place look phenomenal, and it doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg. Honestly, Jeff can get over there, and here's the thing: you save immediately with Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite is that you don't need an architect. Dude can look at it and say, we can do this here, this here, this here, and get the job done for you. And that's how awesome. And listen, if you're not upgrading, if you're not improving that business or that home. You're losing money. You really are. You have to. Someday you're going to want to get that money out of it. And if you don't upgrade, if you're 10, 15, 20 years into this thing and you're not putting in new stuff, you are going to lose money on this investment. And it's the biggest investment of your life. So call Jeff and let him start. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Load and ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Dell, Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer, going to be joining us here in just a second. He is basketball insider, had all kinds of great information heading into this big trade yesterday. Let's bring him in, Kevin O'Connor, with us here on ESPN 97.5. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great this morning. How are you guys?
Doing great, man. We appreciate you joining us here. Your news about Victor Oladipo is a little troubling, I would think, for Rockets fans. Tell us, what's the latest?
So with Oladipo, his desire has long been to be with the Miami Heat. The question has always been, do the Miami Heat want him? And so for Oladipo here, him going to Houston, this isn't necessarily the place he wants to be in. With him being an upcoming free agent, he's somebody that could potentially be flipped at some point, possibly. No guarantees, though, there with Houston. Point being, you know, with the story I wrote in The Ringer, is that, you know, you trade James Harden, and there's a toxic situation there, you know, but with John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, and Oladipo, who doesn't want to be there, it's not necessarily going to be a team that's all the way bought in with the best team chemistry. It's not necessarily, the toxicity isn't necessarily all gone now.
Your article just came out today. It says Rockets still have a mess to clean up. Houston doesn't have to worry about James Harden, but there are more questions than answers, starting with John Wall's role on the team. You know, Wall has been a guy who he's been pleasantly surprising at times this year, I guess just because he's been so out of sight, out of mind as a player in the league. But the question is, do you really want to hang your hat on John Wall as a face of the franchise type?
Probably not. I mean, I think I look at the Rockets right now, and, you know, the next couple years, John Wall, in all likelihood, not many teams wanted him from the Wizards. And with Houston, he's probably going to ride out this contract here. I'm sure Houston's going to have some great moments. John Wall and Victor Oladipo, they've offered a lot of great moments in their careers when they've been healthy. And I expect the Rockets to be competitive, but ultimately this deal isn't about, you know, the 2021 year. It's not about 2022. It's about building for after that and having assets and having draft picks and, having Christian Wood at age 25, having somebody like that you're slowly building with towards building another winner. John Wall and Victor Oladipo, in all likelihood, these guys are placeholders here that are going to keep the team competitive. But for Houston, I feel good about how they came out of this with the amount of draft picks that they got. It's only time will tell if it's better than Ben Simmons. but it's hard to say no to four first-round draft picks and four first-round pick swaps. And that gives them so much flexibility moving forward, especially with Brooklyn. You never know what's going to happen with KD, Kyrie, and Harden when they can all become free agents in a couple of years.
A couple of years? We don't know if Kyrie's going back ever.
Yeah, good point there. You don't know.
I mean, that situation there. Kevin O'Connor with us here on ESPN 97.5. What do you think the Heat would give up for Victor Oladipo?
I mean, it would have to be some sort of salary filler in a trade, as well as a future first-round pick. I honestly can't imagine it would be a ton. With the Miami Heat, they already have given up some first-round draft picks in their future. And not only that, Oladipo will become a free agent. So, you know, the value is a little bit less, even if you do feel confident he would be there. Miami's real preference is Bradley Beal from Washington, who right now isn't available. But that's their number one trade target down there in Miami.
Mm. Kevin O'Connor here on ESPN 97.5. So what? Yeah, what is the plan? You get an expiring contract here when the Rockets aren't going to be able to draw any free agents. What was the thought process there instead of keeping LeVert? Or why would you include Oladipo in this deal?
Honestly, I'm kind of baffled by that. I don't know. I honestly don't know there because I heard LeVert was going to be in the trade, and then all of a sudden it turns into Oladipo. And with LeVert, he has a number of years left on his contract. He is not a better player than Oladipo, but he's younger. He has shown flashes in Brooklyn the last handful of years, averaging 19 points per game. He's an unselfish player who plays his role hard and can be used in a number of different ways for you. And I thought, oh, that would be a nice fit in Houston. And with Oladipo, I wonder if they want just the higher upside there, because if you think of what Oladipo was pre-injury during the 2017-18 season, that was a fantastic player. He really was. He was an all-star that season. He led Indiana to some great wins. They had that run in the first round against Cleveland going to a game seven. And if they had more talent around him, they probably would have won that series. But then he got hurt. And he hasn't been the same guy since. Even this season, he's been good, but not his all-star level. And if you're Houston, maybe you're just willing to bet that Oladipo, you'd rather take the choice that he can get back to his prior state and that he's happy and that he would like to re-sign, rather than LeVert, who is good but hasn't shown a level of greatness that Oladipo did in the past. So I understand the logic. But I was a bit surprised by that, to pass on the years of security with LeVert versus the uncertainty after the season with Oladipo.
Yeah, it was a little puzzling, other than maybe just the ability to get out of his contract and not have to spend that money on him once he's done. You know, we had Jeff Van Gundy on to at the very beginning of the show, and one of the things he talked about with Oladipo and this desire not to play with the Houston Rockets, Van Gundy made the point that he understands the player empowerment movement. He said, I get all that, but this is an abuse of empowerment. And what's happening here, where players can now say they don't want to play at certain places, even when they're traded and they're under contract, he thinks that's a big problem, and that is an abuse. And this is a phrase that he coined, I guess, an abuse of empowerment.
Yeah, I mean, it's the type of thing where I have a lot of mixed thoughts on it. On one hand, you sign a contract and you have 2 years left in that deal, and pushing your way out early really destabilizes the entire organization, everybody who works there. And it's a shame that's happened. It's not just, you know, people on the coaching staff or people on the front office. It's everybody who works in that organization where suddenly, you know, things are in doubt. And with the decision to do that, I get it, though, because, like, players don't choose where they want to play when they enter the league. They're drafted, and then they are restricted free agents, and the team has the rights to them. So a team can have a right to a player for 8 years before that player can make a choice of where to play. So I get it in some ways. In other ways, it's really disappointing. And with Harden, you know, the thing that I look at is, even though this team is 3-6, even though they lost 2 in a row to the Lakers, it's not like this team hasn't shown some promise. I mean, Christian Wood has been playing at an all-star level. John Wall is not quite his prime levels, but he resembles his all-star self. You look at guys off the bench like Jayshon Tate's been so fun. He's been bringing so much good energy. It's not like this team, if everybody was bought in and if Harden came to training camp and was ready to go, it's not like you couldn't see this team being really good. Like, this is a great team on paper. And it's a shame that we didn't get to see that, you know, actually unfold. And that's why Houston didn't try to trade him right away. They wanted to give this a chance because they saw that potential too. And, you know, I just think it's disappointing that we didn't get to see that, because this could have been a good team if things had worked out a little bit differently. And who knows, maybe Harden would have ended up being happy rather than, you know, going up to the podium on Tuesday night and basically just deflating any chance of this working by saying the things he said about the team just not being good enough. Maybe that's true from a championship level, but this team, this team still could have been really, really competitive and made a good playoff run with Harden.
Kevin O'Connor, The Ringer, with us here on ESPN 97.5. What's the league think of James? It seemed like when we were talking about, would this team trade this guy for James? It was like, no, I don't think so. And we heard so many teams going, yeah, we really don't want James Harden on our team. What's the feeling league wise about James?
You know, with Harden, there's no doubt as a player that people view him as a superstar talent, a guy who can be part of a championship team. It's always really been about, you know, I remember the year he won MVP. I had a GM tell me that year. He's like, I don't get all the Harden MVP hype. He's not a leader. He doesn't, you know, put his guys in positions to win in the locker room, on bus rides, on plane rides. And he made the case about why it should be LeBron and why almost most every year it's LeBron because of that intangible factor of leadership. And that's the criticism people tend to have about Harden. When it comes to the game, I think other teams feel like he can adapt. We saw him play off ball in OKC when he was young. We saw him do it his first 2 years in Houston. He can play without the ball if he needs to, and we'll see him try to adapt there in Brooklyn. But it's always been about the leadership aspect and the example set, and that's been the criticism, and that's why I think when it comes to the trade talks for Harden, there weren't a lot of teams willing to go all the way in. There just weren't. Brooklyn was the team willing to go all in. Philly was almost going all in. And other teams, they didn't really feel like there's much of a mix, a blend, a match that could work with Harden in their group. And plus, he's 31. But ultimately, I don't think teams had questions about the game as much as the personality.
You think Brooklyn's a championship team now?
We got to see their defense. We really do. Like, how can this team get stops? Is there diminishing returns of having three, you know, creative genius, you know, scorers on your team? Yes is the short answer, but we got to see how their defense develops over the course of the year. And if Kyrie returns and buys in and locks in like he did the first two games before he flaked out, obviously that changes everything for them. So like, there's a lot of questions with Brooklyn, which is crazy to say after you trade for one of the greatest scorers in the history of basketball, still in their prime, but we got to see that defense work out.
One of the interesting things from your article today was that P.J. Tucker, Kelly Iko talked about the fact that there is some league interest in P.J. Tucker. And P.J. Tucker doesn't have much value on an average to below average team, but he has good value for a team that's a good team because he does bring intangibles to the court and off the court. I guess your thought is that maybe 3 seconds could be the going rate for a player like P.J. Tucker. Second's a second, but we've seen second-rounders make it. The Rockets have had some success with second-rounders. Do you think P.J. Tucker, it's our opinion, P.J. should probably be moved this year too. He's not happy here. Get some value for him on the way out the door.
Yeah, I agree that it's the best to move him. I reported, you know, after Kelly's initial report on The Athletic here on The Ringer, I said that there's 3 seconds. You know, it seems to be the price for Tucker. And I was a little surprised to hear 3 second-round draft picks. But ultimately, like, he is 35. That he will be a free agent this offseason. So there's not a lot of long-term value for teams. And ultimately, with second-round picks, a second-round pick could need the 31st pick in the draft. If you're deep drafting 37th, good players can still be had. We've already seen some late first, early second from the 2020 class. Be contributors early on in their careers. So 3 seconds might not sound as good as 1 first, but in reality, it could actually end up being better.
Yep. That's Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer right here on ESPN 97.5. Busy, busy time. Good stuff. We appreciate you being here. Thanks for your insight, Kevin.
Thank you, guys.
All right. There's Kevin O'Connor right here. 843 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Dave Hardesty is going to join us in about an hour and 15 minutes to give us the reaction from, I mean, nobody knows Rocket fans better than Dave Hardesty, so we'll hear from him in about an hour and 15 minutes, so don't go anywhere.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 846 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. There is other stuff going on in the world of sports. It looks like Urban Meyer, it looks like he's closing in on the deal with Jacksonville. Is it? What was the latest?
Schefter has reported that they are in advanced talks to finalize a deal, and he also added the caveat that Meyer is very, very temperamental. He used a different word, but it was more along the lines of who knows. He's very volatile. This could change, but at this point, the Jags are all in, and he's their clear and number one choice.
Yeah, he's. Yeah, I mean he'll. I mean he's not Larry Brown, but he'll jump jobs now.
He has usually blamed health for that.
Yeah.
We'll see. He might feel unhealthy coaching Jacksonville because it's Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Being clearly, well.
Well.
The fourth best team in the division, even with the Texans struggles because the Texans still have Deshaun. He's entering a bad franchise and a bad team.
Well, he can get better in a hurry, though.
True, but I wonder how he'll adapt, because in college he could just be, say, I'm Urban Meyer, recruit 25 guys and in over
it's
2 years.
So much harder in the pros. You don't have control of.
No.
We'll see. I mean, you don't have control over your roster. You don't have control, although that's something he will probably shoot for, is getting his own GM. I know there's been some talk about one of my guys, Rex Hogan, who's with the Jets, the assistant GM of the Jets, that may, because he and Urban have a background, and he may want somebody he can trust and he knows and who's respected in the league and yada, yada, yada. So college coaches thinking the pros, it's so much harder in the pros. You have to deal with bigger personalities. You can't just wait for guys to leave in 3 years if you don't like them. That's not how it works. They make more money than you on many occasions. They can be harder to handle. It can be harder to win because you can't control in a single recruiting cycle getting what you need. Like, that, it doesn't work that way. And now, I think he's a good CEO. I think Urban's a very good CEO. But learning how to handle his own situation, as the leader of a team, is going to be a lot trickier in the pros than in college. But it looks like it's going to be a done deal. So if that's the case, there's one job down. And the story is going to be Eric Bieniemy not getting a job again in the offseason. That's going to be a big story here soon. I don't expect him to get the Jets job. He's not one of the finalists there. There's two finalists. Robert Saleh is getting – where is it that Saleh's getting the looks?
The Jets had him in twice.
Oh, yeah, Jets were one of them. Yeah the Jets. Robert Saleh and Arthur Smith are the two – with the Jets, from what I hear. I think we'll see what happens with the Lions. The Lions, I think, are starting to narrow it down as well. You've got Atlanta Falcons. Bieniemy could still end up over there. And you know, should we not rule out Eric Bieniemy here now?
Somebody else was, they were closing in on someone. The Falcons were closing in on somebody else. I forget who it was. But I just saw that today. I think
Bieniemy.
Not Tom Herman. No.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
I'm sure.
I'm sure it wasn't Tom Herman.
All right.
Or Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien's already employed by the Alabama Crimson Tide.
I had to go make a phone call real quick to a sports talk host I know over there. Is like, hey, give me some insight on O'Brien. I'm like, well, I said, from a football standpoint, his offense is not going to be as innovative as Sark's. He doesn't have a lot of college elements in that other than some RPO looks and things like that. I said he is, his offense is known for being a little more complicated than you have on the college level. So that's going to be a little bit of an adjustment for Alabama if he brings his offense. I wonder if Nick Saban's going to say, hey,
he did a nice job with Hackenberg, though, for one year. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's great. Yeah. I just don't think his scheme, you know, what he did at Penn State and the Texans is not exactly what they're doing in college now.
I know, but you adapt to your talent, I would hope. You would think.
Some guys do.
Yeah,
some guys do.
I mean, that's what...
Yeah, you know what? If there's one guy that adapts and is really on board with taking a back seat and saying, you know what, let me put my ego aside. Mm-hmm. Let me do things a different way. Mm-hmm. That's the guy.
It's Bill O'Brien. Nothing says it like
you know,
Bill O'Brien.
You know who I, if you want to pray for anyone, because you know, sometimes you go, let's pray for this person. Pray for Bryce Young.
Mm-hmm.
The Alabama, the guy that.
Got Nick and Bill O'Brien. Yeah,
pray for Bryce Young, the new quarterback at Alabama. He's a very talented kid, but I can't imagine. Well, I don't know how much he knows about Bill O'Brien, but he went from, man, Sark is really, really good. You see how open he gets Devontae Smith? See how open he gets those guys? Isn't that the guy who ruined the franchise? And now he's my new coach? Awesome.
I know. You have to know that he was like, it's impossible for those guys not to know that you're the one that traded DeAndre Hopkins, and you're the one who, oh, but I did the Black Lives Matter thing, remember? I said I was going to kneel on the national anthem, remember? I'm like, why are you yelling at me? I just asked a question. If you were the one who traded DeAndre Hopkins, I wasn't sure because I tried to do that, and my Madden wouldn't let me.
Well,
he said it was a lopsided trade. It was an unfair trade, so it wouldn't let me. I was just seeing if you were that guy. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, he was.
I watch a lot of pros.
He was pretty much that guy. Pretty much that. Yeah, I don't think offensive coordinators don't have introductory press conferences, right? And Nick Saban assistant.
Yeah. Bill's not talking to anyone.
No. You're not allowed to talk as an assistant
coach.
The
first time we'll see him is in spring ball.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to be Bryce Young right now.
I'm like, Bryce is like, he's like.
But here's the deal, though. He did employ some RPOs with Deshaun. I mean, Bill O'Brien's not. What got Bill O'Brien was his general managership, not his coaching.
Yeah, but we talked about here that his offenses weren't ever great.
No. But they did finish almost top 10 once.
Mm. We just had an Aggie ask.
Great.
Is this the best thing that ever happened to Texas A&M? And I'm just thinking, you know, it's a thought.
I was thinking on the drive.
It's a thought. They're still going to have the best talent, but Bill O'Brien may not be able to unlock them and unleash them. Although I was disappointed to find out from Cole Kublik that he said, you know, Nick Saban's really mellowed a lot. He doesn't scream down his coaches as much over the last year, that 2 years. Sucks. Probably because he's running out of coaches.
And we didn't see him scream at Sark at all.
But,
did we?
Yeah, that's what Cole said. And I said, yeah.
He had no reason
to. It's hard to scream at a guy that's hitting 50 a game with Mac Jones, a quarterback.
Nick knows Mac ain't that talented.
I know. He's like, hey, I don't have a lot of things to scream about. All right. We're playing good.
Tell his defensive coordinator he didn't have a lot of things to scream about.
I saw him get a little screamy a couple times at his DC.
Yeah, again in the Ole Miss game?
Well, that's his baby, so don't screw up his baby.
Yeah.
Defense
is
his thing.
I bet you he may have to get a screamy voice ready for O'Brien every once in a while. O'Brien will be screaming, why aren't we punting? Or why are we punting? Like, fake it, fake the punt. Hey, we're not faking punts here
Saban's
our own 7-yard line, all right? We're not doing that stuff. You ruined the whole team.
Hey, Bill, we're going 4th and 4th and 1. You expect me to have a play for 4th and 1?
Is there?
You think I'm supposed to have a play for 4th and 1?
Challenge! Challenge!
Wait a minute, what?
I'm supposed to have a play for this?
Bill randomly screaming out to challenge things.
At any time in the coaching meetings, will they bring up DeAndre Hopkins, the other coaches, at any time?
If they want to go.
Is there any, like, even a tease? Yeah.
I've never heard of
Oh, this from the guy that traded DeAndre.
I'll be honest. I've never heard of a head coach who wants to fight more than Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
Never. You know, the story with Brock Osweiler where he jammed him up against at halftime for getting a little lippy.
Tom Brady.
There's a scout named Mike Martin who he was with the Texans. And Mike, you know, the story I heard, confirmed. Mike flew his wife out to go see the big Deshaun Watson Seattle game. He was all hyped about, you know, how Deshaun was playing, and he said, "Come take a trip with me on the road." So he flew his wife out there, and then he got in front of an entire team. Bill O'Brien accused him of using team funds to fly his wife around, malfeasance basically, which he had the receipts for all that. He bought tickets also from the Texans ticket office. He didn't get them for free. He bought it for his wife so that she could go to the game. He bought the plane ticket with his money. He didn't expense it or anything like that. But OB accused him in front of the entire staff at the Senior Bowl and screamed at him. And Money Martin was like, oh, He's like, nope. And the story I heard was that Money got up in front of everybody and said, no, this isn't going down like this. All your information is wrong, number one. And how are you calling me out in front of everybody when you haven't even looked into this information and you're slandering my name? And they said it got real. And Money was gone after that. They got rid of him.
Of course he was gone.
After this year. And this dude's one of the most respected guys. Mike Martin's one of the most respected guys in the league. Great guy. Lives here. I think he lives here in Houston to this day. Great dude. O'Brien was like ready to fight this guy over something that he didn't even get the proof on. And it turns out it wasn't even correct.
Mm.
It wasn't even right. He wanted to fight him. Larry Izzo. I heard he and Larry Izzo almost came to blows. Like, yeah, that guy's, I'm totally on board with him as a leader of men. He's great. Next head coach for somebody. Should be awesome. Got himself totally in check. Not impulsive at all. Get him out of here! Get him out of here! Train that cook! Come on! Do it, Jack! It should work out great with Nick Saban.
Oh, it's going to be. That'll be interesting. Of course, we thought with Lane Kiffin it was going to be. And you know what? They just. Well, there's no.
Oh, he hates
Kiffin.
Because
Nick controls the entire. I know, but there was no issues when they were when Lane Kiffin was his OC.
Except for the he screamed down Lane too.
Oh no, but
and Lane he wouldn't even let Lane finish he let Sark finish. He wouldn't even let Lane finish.
Well, because
the
he took the job.
So does Sark.
He took a job. Well, right, but he has Sark in the background.
He likes Sark,
but Nick controls the narrative in Alabama. You don't in Tuscaloosa. You don't report nothing unless Nick says it's
There's
okay.
There's a better chance that Bill O'Brien winds up in a bayou someplace than it is him yelling at Nick Saban at any point. There's a better chance of that happening, and Nick's like, I don't know what happened to him.
Well, let's see who Alabama fans will get behind.
Oh.
Saban or Bill O'Brien? The guy who ruined a franchise or the guy who's got seven national titles?
And the six with them, by the
way. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's going to be an easy one.
I think that's true. 858 ESPN 97.5.
I can't wait till O'Brien tells Nick Saban, it's not my job.
Yeah. Oh,
that
you,
to do that.
You ain't gonna last long with Bill O'Brien. That's for sure. I want to talk about right now. You know, it's the holiday sales event. It's still going on over at Chastang Ford. If you're looking for that car or truck, I'm telling you, the 2021 F-150 is unbelievable. But they still got the 2020 F-150 XLTs and Explorers are up to $10,000 off right now. It's a huge savings event at Chastang Ford right now. If you're looking for the STX, it's $29,999 or $499 a month with nothing down. The 2020s have got to get off the lot. They can't have them anymore. They got $10,000 off on the F-150 XLT crew cab. And here's the thing about it, too, is that they got no dealer add-ons. That is a key, too. Because by the time it's all said and done, when you say $29,999 or $499 a month with zero down, but other dealerships, you're like, wait a minute. It's not $29,999 anymore. It's up to $35,000. What the hell happened there? It's not what happens at Chastang Ford. If you want something, obviously they're going to give it to you, but they're not going to try to upsell you. They just don't do it. They can shop online at ChastangFord.com. They'll deliver it to your door. You can test drive it. They'll bring you the test drive, and you can test drive it from home, or you can get to the dealership on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's Chastang Ford.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.